Whatcom County Council, you are the answer. What's the question?
What does the council need? The council needs a social worker. The council needs a progressive woman. The council needs a voice for the homeless and the people who are marginalized in the community.
What does a social worker bring that other candidates or other people on the council are not bringing?
I've spent my life working in the trenches, working with people in the community, in the county, in their homes. So I see what they have, I see what they need, and I see what would make their lives just a little bit easier if the county could help just a little bit more.
So let's look at some specific actions that you think the council could take. First of all, let's start with protecting Lake Whatcom.
I think I'm from the East Coast. And there are no motorboats in reservoirs that people drink water. So I understand that the issue's got to be how do we balance out people's recreation and their property rights with the lake. But I think we should be grandfathering in a clause that there be no more motorized vehicles on the lake from now on. I also think we can do a much better job in terms of how we deal with weeds and stuff around the lake. We're using Roundup and some pretty dangerous stuff in the water. And I think just some simple things like that could put us in a better direction.
What about other watersheds in the county?
The other watersheds, several are full, and therefore we need to respect the fact that they are not to be touched. And the ones that do have some room for people to take water out of, we've got to start measuring and figuring out where the watersheds are leading, what's not getting into the streams, and what are we doing that's not helping the salmon.
You're running in a newly progressive district. How will you work with pro-development interests?
I'm a social worker. That's what I do. I've spent my life working with people on different areas of life, different occupations, different values and perspectives. And what I pride myself in doing is bringing people together and having people look at best interest of children. Because if we can live our lives in what's best for our kids, we'll all be coming probably to very similar answers.
If I was a person who was scared of not having jobs in the county, I might hear the question that you just answered and think, she's talking about children, that's code for environment. Does that mean she's anti-development?
I'm anti the development that's going to take the water from people whose water it is. I'm anti-development if it's going to ruin the environment. I'm pro-development to build things that are going to work with our ecosystem, not against it.
What about dairy farms? And there's been some issues with dairy farms and pollution. How are you going to balance that out?
That's a tough one. That's a huge part of our economy. And I think what we've got to do is we've got to first figure out, again, what water's going where. I don't think we know that about our farms yet. And I think there's probably places that water is being taken that's not useful to the streams, and other places that we could probably manage better watering systems and retaining water for drier months, and also, again, doing a lot better on buffering our streams and our creeks.
So you declared, I think, around 5 months ago, you said.
December 6th.
And you are now running against a sitting councilman, which you weren't when you declared. Has your messaging changed?
Not really. I'm running for the county. I'm running as a social worker with a different perspective. My opponent has excellent views. He's got a great history on environment and on taking care of our county. I just want to add, not take away.
And Whatcom also coexists with the Lummi and Nooksack Nations. What's your experience and connections with them?
Well, I started as a social worker working with people on the reservation when it came to child issues and family issues.
In Whatcom County?
In Whatcom County, yes. For the past 14 years, I've had a contract with the state and with the county, and often my work can include working with people from Lummi Reservation. I've also been an activist and was working as much as I could to try and help them to stop the Gateway Pacific coal terminal, and they were able to do it.
And what other issues do you think face the two governments, or should I say three governments, working together?
Well, I think one thing that we can do that I don't know why it hasn't been done. Maybe it's really difficult to do. I think we should have a contract with the Lummi Nation that anything that happens over at that pier and on their territory that the Army Corps of Engineers has identified as their territory is up to them to decide what happens. We pass on any industry that comes to us and wants to develop and say it's up to the Lummi Reservation. If they give it a go, then we'll entertain the thought, but not until they're okay with it. It's their space.
And you mentioned Cherry Point just a moment ago. Has our Whatcom County government, the current government, taken the right steps regarding Cherry Point?
Absolutely. That land is Lummi Nation territory. That is incredibly important to the ecosystem, to salmon survival, which is our survival. And the Lummi Nation is doing a good job of trying to keep it protected. And I think the more we don't do more increased fossil fuel development there, the better we are, and we certainly shouldn't be sending out unrefined fossil fuels.
Should there be additional steps taken?
If we went for that program, that contract between us and Lummi Reservation, I think that'll probably take care of it, because they're going to take care of their land and it won't be up to us.
Let's switch gears and talk about tiny houses. You've been a proponent of tiny houses since the get-go.
Yes.
Where do you see those houses going?
Everywhere. One of the things is we have people living homeless behind our homes, 8-10 people at once. If we build tiny developments of tiny homes with a service building attached all through the county, not just Bellingham. Bellingham does not just have the problem. It just seems like it because everybody comes to Bellingham. If we have outreach services that go into small little tiny home developments of 6 to 8 homes, no one can say not in my backyard, because they're already in your backyard, and now they'll be next to you in a home where they won't be polluting the environment and they won't be doing drugs out in the open. They'll be in their own little tiny home to do whatever they want to themselves without hurting anybody else. And I think that'll save the county a lot of money, both in our environmental needs as well as our jail, as well as the police.
So you see the county paying for these homes?
Absolutely. We take it out of our law and order budget, which is 55% plus of our county budget. That's way too much money going to law and order. It needs to go to safety, and safety is homes.
Well, and we're going to get into law and order in a moment, but let's stick with the tiny homes. Does this mean you're advocating for the tiny homes? Does this mean that you were opposed to the rotor site shelter?
Yes, I was, actually. I think putting 200 people in a low barrier shelter out at the water was a recipe for every problem that happened on that waterfront to be the fault of that shelter. It was appointing, they're the problem, that's why business isn't happening. It was a terrible idea, too many people in one place. We need to spread shelters out among the county the same way people are spread out among the county. Small shelters, some for men and children, some for women and children, some for families. So we actually create environments within their own communities to get healthy.
So in the meantime, there shouldn't be any transitional stopgap while these tiny houses are being built a few at a time, because that's leaving a lot of people on the streets.
Absolutely. I do think that we need a stopgap, and we're always going to need temporary and transitional shelters, but I think they should be a lot smaller, at the most for 40 or 50 people in places all through the county, not just in Bellingham.
And doesn't that make it difficult for transportation for people who are homeless and need to get at services which are largely in Bellingham?
That's the issue. Those services need to be in the community. And I know, as somebody who works for the Behavioral Health Access Program, that we are outreach workers and case managers can go out into the county. And if we start actually asking providers to open up outreach centers where maybe the county does the housing of them, then we will have the social services in the county, so everybody can get to services and not have to come to Bellingham.
Is that also something that the county government can incentivize, or how do you make services just magically appear in the county?
As a social worker, I know I would be delighted to go out into the county, but often the problem is I don't have a place to meet people. So if the county had a little service office, whether it be within those tiny home developments or within the Department of Health or at some social service agency in the county, any government agency that has an office that could lend it out to a provider would be a perfect opportunity for somebody to get out there and do work in the community and not have to have people come to Bellingham.
A new jail, perhaps? An office in a new jail? Is that what?
I think my new jail needs to be right next to or in the same place as the old jail. That boondoggle out there in Ferndale is a mess and it needs to be sold. That's a really bad place for it. It's a bad idea, and I'm 100,000% against it.
And we do want to talk about that too, but again, with the tiny houses, it sounds like a nice idea, but I worry that it is just kind of chipping away at a mountain of a problem. And there's so many people that I just don't see how this is a complete rational solution in and of itself.
It isn't the only solution. You're absolutely right. There are people that are not going to be able to manage themselves in a tiny home on their own, regardless of what services are there. There are people that don't require those social services, but what they do require is a home to live in that's affordable. And there are other ways of building tiny homes and developments that aren't necessarily for the homeless, but are for low-income people on a fixed income. We also do have group home opportunities for people who do need that social support network on a constant basis. And we need to also have a jail for people who are dangerous in the community. I'm not the I'm not the idealistic person I was 40-something years ago when I thought everybody could be okay in the community. There are some people that are a danger to themselves and others, and they need containment. It doesn't need to be a jail, but it does need to be in a facility that is contained.
And talking about people are dangerous, I'm sure you heard about the city council letter that was just sent to the current county council. So let's pretend that you are a county councilwoman and you just received this letter. Let's look at the points that the Bellingham City Council made. The first one was the location of the new jail away from the county courthouse. You've already kind of taken a stand on that. How do you see that working out?
They have to sell that property.
It's the current jail?
The jail property they bought in Ferndale. That property has about $10 million worth of mitigation that it has to have. I don't know why they bought it in the first place. It was, to me, it was done behind closed doors with no open hearings, no discussion of why we're spending millions of dollars on property that could have been bought for a quarter of the price somewhere else and closer. In Ferndale, it's a terrible idea. City government is in Bellingham, and you can't bring all the services to Ferndale unless you're going to remove city government and actually move it out in the county, and I believe that's not in our charter. Our charter says that the county facility has to be in Bellingham.
At one point, you were saying that you want county services all over for the homeless, and now you're saying that you want the county services to stay in Bellingham?
I don't want county services all over. I want human services all over, and that it's social services, and it could be part county services. When I'm saying I don't want the jail services in Ferndale, the bail bonds, the lawyers, the people who visit, that's an incredibly difficult place to get to. It's when you get out of jail, they let you out first thing in the morning. I don't know exactly what you're going to do with that at Ferndale.
So let's look at the second question, which was the proposed size and the financial commitments to alternatives to incarceration.
It's backwards. We have to first look at the Vera Institute's assessment of what we can do to keep people out of jail. We need to look at the Incarceration and Reduction Task Force that's been working for a couple of years on the proposals they have. Once we enact those and we take people out of jail who are in there because of mental health reasons or financial reasons, and we take people out of there who are in there for pretrial and are not a danger, I think we'll be pleasantly surprised at how little amount of space we need for containing dangerous people. We also still have our facility on Division Street, which could be just perfect for people who do not require the intense containment that you would need for a hardline security.
A lot of people keep coming back to this point about who is housed in our jail now and why. And I think that there is some agreement. But a lot of times when people talk about the solution of getting those people out of the jail, is it really that easy? Are there legalities involved? Like, can you just walk in and say, okay, this person has mental health issues but is not dangerous, boom, and then you just unlock the door and let them out?
Well, people can be let out with certain types of supervision, with electronic home monitoring. They can be let out in the custody of others. They can be on probation. There's lots of ways of monitoring people. And if we don't put people in jail in the first place who have mental health problems and actually transition them or bring them to a triage facility where they can either get inpatient or outpatient health, we're going to be doing a lot better service to our community.
So looking at alternatives, then the location of a booking and holding facility, should there just be one?
Yeah, I think so.
And it should be in Bellingham?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the local housing of pretrial inmates?
We have a district attorney, a prosecuting attorney, who does not like to let people out. He's afraid of what will happen if somebody does something. I think that's a really, again, a backwards way to think of our people who are our neighbors and our society. People are not convicted. They're just accused of a crime, and they should be allowed to be out unless they're a danger to others or themselves. And there are way too many people sitting in jail because of prosecutorial discretion that is not letting them out.
So here we are on the verge of the primary. And as I said earlier, your race has changed quite a bit. How are you situated going forward? When you started running, you were the only candidate.
Right. For the first 5 months, I was the only candidate. Everything was in place. Satpal Sidhu was running for the 3rd district. Barry was running at large. Rudd was running in 1. That left Todd, who was going to run for the at large in 2 years, and everybody was going to be happy. Now what we've got is Todd running 2 years early, so that he could run in the 2nd, and that puts us head-to-head against each other. I just go by what I'm running on. If people decide they'd like to keep Todd and let the council decide who's going to fill his spot for the 1 year before the next election. It won't be in the voters' hands. Or I, of course, would hope that they would vote for me, and then they get Todd for his last 2 years, because his term is four. He's only been there two. And then he can make whatever decision he wants at the end of his four-year term.
Well, they could appoint you, though.
There isn't a chance that they would ever appoint me.
You think so?
Never.
How come?
I'm pretty direct. I'm pretty assertive. And I think my style worries people, of which it really shouldn't. I have different sides of me. When I'm an advocate and an activist, I'm an advocate and an activist, and I'm incredibly passionate. When I'm sitting on a council, I'm a systems person, and I work with everybody to come together to make good solutions. And I hope the council will see that it's different roles, different jobs, and once I'm there, I'll be great, but they've only seen me in this role of activist and an advocate, and that might make them a little anxious about my style, because I am who I am, and this doesn't change very much.
And you are perceived as an activist, of course. That's how people have gotten to know you in Bellingham. As you yourself say, being a council person is a very different role. What is your experience for that kind of role?
I work with the U.S. Army for 5 years in Europe. So working with an organization that I often disagreed with basically just everything, I had to come up with common grounds. And as I said, best interest of children is always a common ground I think you can get everybody on the same page for. Doing unto others the way we want to be treated ourselves is my other common phrase I have. If I take those two, I think we can come up with some great solutions to the problems that we have in the county, regardless who's on the council. But I'm kind of hoping it'll be Todd and Barry and Rudd and me and Rebecca Boonstra in the third, and Barbara, and we carry on.
But some people may see you as being an activist councilwoman.
I'm never going to stop fighting for people who are marginalized. That won't change. What will change is how I get things done. I've spent my life on the outside trying to help systems and ask systems to change. If I'm allowed the opportunity to work on the inside, I can help with people to maybe mold some changes that are best for everybody. And I can do that while still being an activist and advocate. That will never change in me.
And you alluded to your style a minute ago. Neither you nor I are raised in Bellingham. We're not exactly the Bellingham types. Do you think that that helps you, or maybe is a challenge for you on the campaign trail?
It's a bit of a challenge at times. I have found that around here, honestly, Stephanie, there's not enough of us to annoy them too much. So this New York style that I have is actually pretty novel in a lot of ways, and it has been incredibly useful and appreciated in my job, because beating around the bush doesn't get things done. Being direct and saying what you mean and going for it does get things done. So I think although the style might make some people uncomfortable, they'll be wonderfully surprised to see how much I can get done, because I'm relentless when I know something is good for kids and for people.
And I don't think anybody doubts your relentlessness.
Probably never.
I don't think that this interview was here to clarify that. But I know you've said over and over again, you're a social worker. You like to talk about that a lot. I'm also a social worker. I get that. But you talk about hearing people from all different perspectives, and that's part of your selling point. But I don't hear you using the word compromise. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be a fear that a lot of people have, that you're talking about being an activist. You're like, I'm never going to give up my passions. And I resonate with that. But I think the question is, can you actually compromise? Can you sit down and maybe go against your values?
It depends what it is. I guess if you gave me examples, I might be able to let you know how I would do it. But let's face it, compromise is the only way anything seems to get done. So I can have my value and it be way up here. You can't see me because we're radio, but really, really high up, knowing that that's where I'd like to reach. But also knowing realistically that when you work with different people from different walks of life, you're not going to get everything you want. But I'll also always strive for the things that I think are best for people, and understand that I'm not always going to be able to get what I think is best for people. And I might not, shudder to say, might not always be right.
Well, here's an example. Here's an example from one of my co-hosts. And that is, there's been some concern about legalities from the council in the past and legal implications. If you were in a situation where the council had made a decision to meet in executive session in private, but you felt like it was an issue where the public needed to know, how would you resolve that?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I think I think it would depend on what the issue is. If it was something that the county and the people need to know about, then I would advocate for and I would let people know that that would be my plan. I don't do things behind people's backs. However, I know there are ways to negotiate, and sometimes you have to negotiate quietly in order to get everybody's needs met and everybody heard in an honest forum. But if it's something that I think is not in the best interest of the county and is being shoved through behind a closed door, it's going to be really hard for me not to say something, because my job is to represent the people who elect me. It isn't to go along with a group that makes decisions behind closed doors.
Let's end with a feel-good question.
Oh, good.
What have you learned on the campaign trail that you did not know going in?
I learned that there are about 20, 30 more homeless projects going on in this community that I didn't even know about. I'm learning about different programs for the homeless, needle exchange programs that I honestly didn't even know existed, that I'm so proud of this city and this county for doing such amazing, amazing things that 14 years didn't even know all about them. So whatever happens, I have learned so much, which will make my job as a therapist and as a social worker and a systems worker that much better, regardless of what happens.
Amy Glosser, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie.